Hey, everybody. Shane Pressley here with Rock Paper Podcast. Hey, I want to tell you, we got a big party coming up on July 1st over at the Firebird. Big third annual Rock Paper Podcast birthday show featuring the likes of Hounds, the Royal Furs, Bald Eagle Mountain, and Forgetting January, hosted by comedian John Venegoni. Tickets are $8 and $10 day of show. So come on over. We're going to have Gorilla Street Food out there, and we're going to have Four Hands Beer and all kinds of good stuff going on. It's going to be a fun event, and I can't wait to see you all out there. This episode brought to you by Gaslight. Check them out over there on the hill in St. Louis, Missouri, located at the corner of Kings Highway and Shaw Boulevard. Hey, come on by this Friday, June 9th, and see Elliot Pearson and friends in the studio recording a brand new record. And they also have a fun event coming up on June 25th, Gaslight Sessions with the Knuckles and Matthias and the Pirates. So mark those on your calendars. There's also a bunch of fun things coming up with the kids, so you can get involved with these Gaslight Summer Camps. Reach out and see how you can get the kids signed up for the camp. All details at GaslightSTL.com. Be sure to follow them along on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And also, I want to tell you about my friends at Music Record Shop. They're a wonderful record store located right here in St. Louis, Missouri. Hey, come by every Friday. New records in store. This week, they'll have records in from 311, Neil Young, Lord, Flaming Lips, Taking Back Sunday, Prince of Montreal, Beach House. All kinds of things happening over there. Full listing of all these details at musicrecordshop.com. You can also follow along on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Shop 24/7 at musicrecordshop.com. They do a lot of fun things with live in-stores and giving away records and tickets and things. So all that you can find them on their social media. Follow along, support local business. I want to say thank you also for listening wherever you're listening to the show, whether it's your Google Play, Stitcher, or through the website, rockpaperpodcast.com. But really means a lot. Like I said, I've been doing the show 3 years now, and it's crazy. But yeah, thank you for listening.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Hi, we're Numbered.
And you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Bienvenidos a Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
Hey, everybody. Shane Pressley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri. Hanging out today with the guys of Numbered. Welcome to the show, guys.
Hey, thanks.
This is very exciting stuff. We're down here in the practice space. This is a beautiful jam room you got going on down here.
Thank you.
Trevor's Bar.
There we go. Yeah, it's official.
Yeah, that's right.
But yeah, before we get going too far, you guys want to go around the mic and introduce yourselves? And
sure. I'm Trevor on vocals and guitar.
I am Fernando, the Bolivian lead guitar.
That's a good one. Mark Bauman, drums. Rudy Wonton, and I'm a bass owner. He did slip it in.
Yeah. At least he didn't say, Mark Bauman.
Mark Bauman.
Well, I guess I qualify. I do own a drum set as well.
But this is crazy because like it's kind of a I don't know, it's like so a little backstory how all this like came to be. I don't know what a long time ago I was given a numbered CD and I was told to give a listen and I checked it out and it was real good stuff and then like a little while later, you know, a couple years later, I get a message from a friend say check out my brother's band, and I did that, and I'm like, so, and I realized it was all the same thing, all numbered, really? So it was like, just kind of crazy how it's like, this has been like a kind of a while in the making, and then all of a sudden we're here, we got a release party, and a new record, and all this stuff going on, and so,
yeah, that was back in 2013.
Yeah. So yeah, I knew it was like a few years. It's been so that was the first record, 2013.
Yeah. Beginning of 2013.
Yeah,
is when we kind of released it.
Right.
That was these two.
Yeah.
Yeah. The funny thing is that we're not really a band yet.
Yeah, it was more of a, like a recording project.
Sure.
You know, yeah.
For fun, really.
Yeah.
And then we decided, you know what? This is fun. We got a good sound, and we're gonna record another album and put a band together.
Right.
And that's where we got Mark and Rudy.
Yeah. So this, how long has this current lineup then been? How long has that been?
6 months.
We got Rudy right as the album got finished.
Right.
So this being more than 6 months.
The three of us, probably a year.
More than a year.
Year and a half, maybe.
Yeah.
Right on.
It pretty much started as an experiment. Trevor and I, you know, Trevor was doing guitar lessons for me, and we were just, you know, I knew that he had a good voice, and we're like, hey, let's just record some music, and I knew that he wrote some music, and so in my apartment, we just started, you know, just recording some things.
Yeah.
And then we realized this is actually pretty good. You know, this is good stuff. But then what happened is I kind of wanted to take a little sabbatical from the U.S. and actually left. And I went to Bolivia for a full year.
Okay.
And Trevor was like, well, you know, if you're going to be gone, then I'm not going to make a band. And, you know, this is going to be hard because, you know, finding a guitar player to play is not part. Not
Trevor
possible.
Trevor was really pissed.
Yeah. Because, you know, we did this album that, you know, there was so much potential with it. And then, you know, I left. And, you know, and then Trevor was, yeah, he wasn't too happy.
No.
And then the funny thing is that I go to Bolivia and I set up a recording studio down there. And the first month that I'm down there, Trevor was like, okay, new song. We gotta keep writing. So I did an instrumental. That was really you. He, you know, Trevor liked it, and then Trevor just, you know, recorded some vocals, and then we decided that, hey, this is the beginning of the second album.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, that's kind of what happened. And I came back to the States, and then when I came back, then we decided to form the band.
I love that. Yeah, you can be halfway across the world and still working on making, you know, music together.
That's
and stuff.
Exactly, like, what we did.
Yeah,
that was.
Well, we started. We just did the one song basically, and then Fernando moved back, and then we brought Mark in.
Well, what was really cool too is that you guys. I mean, Trevor continued on lessons with Fernando on Skype, and Fernando actually kept a good portion of his students through Skype. And I knew he couldn't stay away from me, so I just figured the phone was going to ring, and sure enough, it rang. He's like, hey, I got this guy. He's got a good voice, a good writer. And first time I talked to Trevor, I'm like, I'm going to be working with this guy because I noticed right away.
He's a good dude.
Well, he's a good dude, but what told me about him was he was willing to not only involve other songwriters in his writing, but he was willing to give up his vocal slot to make the vocals better. So we actually started off, when we all got together the first time, we actually had a different singer. And things didn't work out, and Trevor ended up taking the mantle again, and we just kind of figured, well, this is the way it started. It sounded great that way, and we just went with that.
And it's not that we didn't find confidence in Trevor's vocals. It's just that every vocalist, as you know, is different.
Mm-hmm.
And we wanted to go more like the metal route. We wanted to become a heavy metal, you know, hard rock band. And Trevor was like, I don't think I have the tone for that. And when we agreed, I was like, yeah, you know, you have the tone for more like acoustic, you know, funk rock, acoustic rock. And Trevor, we found a guy who was a friend who came in, and at the end it didn't work out. And so then we decided to write the music more towards Trevor's vocals, and I think it worked out pretty well.
Yeah. Well, like we were saying, you guys have a brand new record that will be available on June 16th over at the Firebird. You have a big release party going on over there. But yeah, I got to listen, and I was really impressed. I thought it sounded great, and I love what you guys are doing on this album. And so we're going to play a couple of the tunes. We're going to give everybody a little sneak peek at the record before they can get it. But again, the party is Friday the 16th, and this will be your, what, first live?
First live show.
Yeah.
That's nuts. That's great. Yeah, that's great. Yeah.
We're probably the only band on the planet with two albums, and this will be our first show live.
Yeah,
so. Yeah, actually.
But we're stoked about it. It's
for sure.
Yeah.
And you guys are bringing along, what was it, High? Floodplain Grifter. And $10 tickets, 7 p.m. show. And so you come on out there. And I guess you guys selling tickets or just through Firebirds?
We're almost out, actually. Okay. But there's you can get tickets at the door or online. So. Okay.
Yeah, FirebirdSTL.com, I believe, is that our Ticketfly also.
That's it.
Yeah, yeah, so, Ticketfly.
Yeah. So, yeah, but so like I said, we've got the record. The record is titled Two Pieces.
That's it.
And we're going to play a track called Illusion, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
you guys want to share some story with this song, how it came about recording and everything? And
Mark and I kind of wrote that song together, and it's really just about somebody that, you know, is always kind of helping someone else, but they never get that same in return. Mm-hmm. You know, somebody's trying to create a perfect picture, but it's not really there. So we kind of just swapped lyrics back and forth on mm-hmm. that. And,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, we had ideas of people that are, you know, living in an illusion, basically, and you can't shake them out of it. And in the meantime, the people that try to help them usually end up on the short end of the stick, and we're kind of looking at it from their perspective.
Who's there when you call him? Who set your mind at ease? In your nightmares, now I'm the one that can't sleep. Who's there when you're freaking? Who's there when you're tripping numb? Who's there in the breakdown? Who's there to build it back up? And why can't I embrace your illusion?
Yeah. Where'd you guys end up recording this record?
Well, Fernando produced the whole album at his house, and yeah, he did a great job.
So yeah, everything was in house.
Yeah, I have a music teaching business that I teach from home. Mm-hmm. So I also through time actually recorded some students, and just for fun, to get them going, so they can learn how to record music. And so at the end, we're like, let's just have you produce the album. So through a lot of sweat and a lot of hours, we were able to pull it off.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I think that's I don't know. Like, I'm always like blown away that that's like a thing. Like to get this quality of a record, just from somebody's house. Like, I mean, I not to discredit anything you're doing, but just like that we had that technology, we have that possibility to where everybody can just like make an incredible record right there, their own home and stuff. With the knowledge of knowing how to do it, but we don't have to pay for the big studio costs and everything else. And
yeah, I think that's exactly it. I mean, not everybody can afford to go out and spend thousands and thousands of dollars to record an album that you don't know how it's going to turn out. Mm-hmm. And we put our faith in Fernando. He's produced a lot of albums now, and he just gets better.
Yeah,
so. Yeah. We were in a previous band together called Perilous, and we actually got offered to go to Nashville and record down at the Sound Emporium. World renowned studio, best drum room in the world, and we go down there and we're all excited, and it was a great experience, and we dealt with some really good people and real professionals, and so we were real fired up, and we came home, and when they sent us the tracks, I mean, we almost all started crying. It was so terrible.
And for four songs, I mean, that experience cost the band over $8,000.
Yeah.
And they gave us a horrible mix. They said that it was going to be mixed at Sony Studios, and they told us all of that. Of course, it was kind of like a scam.
Yeah.
And even when you go to like a reputable recording studio here in St. Louis, I mean, you're gonna be paying around $10,000 for 10 songs. Not including the mastering, just the mixing and the recording. So yeah, we just decided to do it our way, and it worked out.
And I think if you listen to the first album compared to the second album, you can see I think the songwriting's getting better, but Fernando's producing and engineering is also getting better. And I think we're kind of starting to get our hands in helping produce. And, Fernando does all the engineering and everything. But it's cool to be able to put your input in, and, you know it's not going to get rejected because the guy's in the band that's producing it. Right.
Yeah, and another key thing about all this is the vision of the music and the sound and the tones. And, Fernando spent a lifetime of coming up with his own tone and his own technique. And, you spend all that time on it and you record it, and then it comes back and you have absolutely, it sounds like somebody else playing the music.
Yeah.
So it was almost like there was this need that kind of pushed him in that direction. Like, well, if I want this stuff to sound with my tone, I'm going to have to do it myself. Yeah. And I kind of backed him up on that on the Perilous album. I mean, he really didn't want to do it. And I'm like, I'm there for you, buddy. Let's do this, because this is the only way we're going to get it the way we want. Because our demos were better. We went to two different studios. Our demos were better than the studio versions.
Huh. And so you're usually playing by the hour. Right. So, I mean,
and that adds up fast.
Yeah.
So there's no confusion. Perilous was actually Mark and I. Mark was a drummer. I was a guitar player for another band before Numbered.
That's
how we got together.
Right. Mm-hmm. What do you find that like, being in the band, being the talent and the, engineer and producer and everything, like, but kind of like being your own critic and everything, being able to like listen to this stuff and like, because sometimes it's nice to have that outside perspective on stuff, I think that's a lot of why people go to some different producers and stuff, just to kind of have like another fresh look on the songs and things. But if you're doing it all in-house, like I think that would be it would be tough to be like, okay, yeah, that sounds good, or because I played it, but to like hearing that fresh perspective on it,
I think you have to, you have to develop your ear a lot throughout the years. This is not something where, like, for example, I have a story where a musician friend was like, I'm going to go to the studio and I'm paying this amount of money, and I was like, okay, who's the producer? And he's only 22 years old,
right?
And right away, that raised up a red flag to me because, you know, nothing against, you know, very young people who want to get going in the industry of recording, but this guy was 22 years old and he didn't have the experience to develop his ear.
Right.
And I was right because at the end, when everything was recorded and it was mixed, it was terrible. I mean, the recording was, it sounded very minimal, very little. And I told my friend, I told you that it was not going to work because the guy you're working with, he's only 22. So even though he probably busted his tail off for working for 2 years or so, that, I mean, that's not enough experience to develop that ear.
Sure.
So what I had to do is I always like to listen to some, when I'm doing the mixing and the mastering, you know, I always like to listen to different artists, different songs. It's not just for the frequency, but just give myself a little break from hearing the same old, you know, the same song the entire time.
Right.
So I don't know. I guess I just have that in me that I have that ear that I can, you know, try to manipulate the sound to where I really wanted it to go to, you know. And it's not an easy thing. It's something that I've tried for years. As he was saying, the first album doesn't sound as good as the second album, and it's something that is just a skill that takes a long time to develop.
Right.
And equipment, you know, we've gotten some better equipment since then too.
Right.
We started using a better preamp and that helped. And
yeah,
I think I know what you're saying, that, you know, the outside influence, but maybe if he hadn't produced other people.
Yeah. No, I'm not. There's no right or wrong.
No, we've talked about it, actually. Yeah. I was always like, you know, it'd be cool to go to a studio. But then when you weigh the pros and cons, it's just like, you know, we have a good sound. There's no reason to mess it up, you know.
Definitely. Yeah.
With Perilous, before Numbered, you know, we had that experience with Nash Bale. And then we had an experience with another guy. You know, this guy supposedly did, you know, he actually produced Chuck Berry, you know. So we're like, wow, this is neat, you know, this guy. So we went to his house, and he had a bass studio, a basement studio, and he was like, okay, I'm gonna charge you X amount of money to do 10 song album. And we're thinking, okay, this is gonna be great. He seems to be like a good guy, and he was a great person.
Mm-hmm.
And so we recorded, and not only he took 5 months to give us the music, you know, but when he gave us the music, it was terrible. It was even worse than Nashville's. And that's when Perilous, you know, this is before Number, they were like, hey, Fernando, we don't care, you're going to produce it, because, you know, we can't find people, really good people out there that can give us a sound that, you know, we have envisioned for, you know. And after learning with that experience, you know, with Trevor, with Number later on, we kind of decided that we didn't want to go through that route, even though I know there's some really good, legitimate, great producers out there, you know. One producer that I really respect his work here in St. Louis is Jason McIntyre.
Yeah,
he's awesome.
He's been on my show. Yeah,
he's awesome. He's a great person. I work with him with you know, Marty B and Fivefold. Mm-hmm. You know, I was Fivefold's bass player.
Yeah,
you know,
very cool.
Hey, Fivefold.
Yeah.
And so I know that there's definitely some great producers out there, but, you know, at the end we were like, hey, you know, let's just save up some money and let's just do it our own way.
For sure. Yeah. You know, we're kind of talking about the sound of, you know, Numbered and stuff in these songs. How do you guys feel like you describe the sound? I mean, like, because like we said, we kind of like this acoustic rock kind of thing. There's some sounds like that. I don't know. I feel like, I don't know, some of that, I feel like influences some of that, maybe that, like, 90s, like, maybe Collective Soul or something like that, or somewhere in there, like
that's fair.
That's really fair.
I love Collective Soul.
Yeah. I don't know, but like all that, like I feel like some of all that kind of comes throughout the sound and stuff.
One of my absolute favorite bands of all time is still the White Sprocket from the 90s.
Yeah,
and then Trevor has become
a big fan.
Yeah,
sure.
And now I've wrote a couple new songs, and when Fernando heard them, he says, you know, you're being influenced by Toad now.
Sure.
And I guess that's the way it works. You know, you listen to bands so much that you want to write a song like that, you know.
You get the influence.
But I think we pride ourselves in that none of our songs sound the same.
Right.
You know, and I'm proud of that.
Yeah, yeah, people have come to us and told us, like, I don't know who you sound like.
Sure.
You know, you guys sound like a mixture of so much stuff that I can't say, like, one thing.
Mm-hmm. Which is what we want.
Yeah, right? Exactly. You
know? We sound like Numbered.
Right, exactly.
Exactly. Yeah. We're a product of our environment.
Yeah. Right. One of my favorite quotes, one of my favorite singer-songwriters, Will Hogue, you know, he started getting some attention. A song called "Even If It Breaks Your Heart" was picked up by Eli Young Band, and they made it a number one single on country radio. And you know, some people started like taking a little more attention to him and stuff, and to Will, and they were asking, because like, you listen to some of his records, some are rock and roll, some are a little more country, and people are like, what kind of music do you play? And he's like, I play Will Holden music, you know? He's like, I thought that was a great line.
One of the worst things that happened to the whole industry was he used to walk up to the shelf, and it had everybody in its own genre.
Right.
It's one of the worst things that happened, because I think, you know, and you see it in the really popular people, once they hit something, their handlers, they pigeonhole them right in that direction. Right. I've even heard Gwen Stefani talk about how, you know, they wanted her voice to be more pouty because that sells. And it's like, well, you know, you just wonder, can she even stretch her wings anymore? Right. Can she kind of do what she wants, you know? That's one thing about the industry. It kind of pigeonholes you. And once you got that spot, mm-hmm. you know, these people think, I got to milk it, you know, for what it's worth, instead of stretching, you know? And I think, you can see throughout the years, some of your best artists were able to do that stretch, you know, to make that next step away from where they were.
A little bit.
Yeah, 2 years later, you're stretching out instead of just, you know, staying in the same genre. Yeah.
Well, that's what, I mean, I've kind of talked about in the past, too. I love, like, a guy like, I mean, I'm not a huge fan, but I respect what he's doing, but John Mayer, how the fact that he's gone from like pop music to blues to Americana record, right. Now he's touring with Grateful Dead, and like, you know, he's kind of done it all. And like, I love that the guy that, you know, he's maintained a fan base. It's not like they bailed on him after he quit making pop music or whatever. He's, you know, people have stuck around, and he's made new fans and that like this stuff, but a guy that can cover the board of, you know, music, so.
Yeah, true musician, that's for sure.
He started out just, you know, he was going to be the love song kind of guy, right. And, you know, now he's become one of the great guitar players of his time.
Sure.
You know. He started also, like, with a lot of jazz influence, you know, I mean, Room for Squares, I think that's the first album, one of the first albums, you know, he does a lot of major seventh chords, and, you know, chords that are found originally in a lot of jazz, mm-hmm. you know, and that's what gave him his original sound.
Right.
But I think, you know, this is my you know, my own theory is that I think later on, it seems like the labels told him, you know, you have to do more pop music like your buddies or Wonderland, you know, and go right. more mainstream and stop doing so much, you know, those seventh chord stuff of thing. And he did that, and then it seems to me that he kind of got kind of like, not burned out, but kind of like, I don't want to do this anymore. I want to do something more bluesy, mm-hmm. and that's where the Continuum album came out. And what I've heard from Continuum is that he got the album done, and one of the guys from Columbia Records was like, no, we're not going to release this. This is not what we're looking for. But then some months later, that guy stepped down in position, and then another guy stepped in, and the new guy said, this is a great album. We're going to do it. And it became one of the most successful albums of that decade.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, definitely John Mayer is awesome.
Yeah.
Sure. There's a perfect example of the industry right there. Because two guys switch places.
Yeah.
One guy didn't, now one guy does. I mean, it is just amazing, you know, like we were talking earlier. Somebody walked in the bar, happened to walk in that night, saw him, turned him on to somebody, and next thing you know, they're playing in front of 40,000 people 2 weeks later or something. Sure. You know? I mean, you hear those stories, it's amazing.
Yeah. I do love that the record is very diverse, you know, there's a lot of things going on throughout it, so it's very it's a lot of fun, it's a great sound, so
thank you.
We got another one too, they wanted, you guys wanted to share, called These Bones, and you guys want to share some stories that were on this tune.
Well, These Bones was kind of wrote, Mark's mom had Alzheimer's, and
Rudy.
Rudy.
We should have probably clarified that.
Yeah. Mark Rudy.
His real name is Mark, but we call him Rudy. Anyway.
It's a long story.
And it works out because there's another Mark in the band, so it makes it easy. It was Rudy.
Sure.
Sorry, go ahead.
But yeah, I you know, I kind of got to know her, and just sort of made me think of, you know, what that would be like to develop that kind of disease
over 7 years,
you know, forgetting your family, forgetting who you know. Man, it just kind of inspired the song.
weak and the mind is gone. And over the ledge I go, higher than the clouds through the groves. It can't take what's left of me. It won't take my everything, 'cause I'll still be hanging on. It might break my peace of mind, leave this world so far behind, but I'll still be going on. These bones will rest alone. Here is falling out as I've gone.
Come from that. It actually made me think about it when I first heard it, and then we were sitting down one night just shooting the breeze, and he laid that on me, and it was kind of choked me up a little bit. That was pretty cool, you know. I was totally, and he said he did that on the day that we buried her. He wrote the whole thing that night, so it was a
that's true
pretty good
left the funeral when I came home
feeling to play that song.
I was looking for, you know, something to be inspired by, and that was easy inspiration
for sure. That's crazy. You never know when that inspiration's going to find you or whatever, and when it's going to hit and stuff. So
you never know what the next song's going to be about.
Yeah.
And I wasn't involved with the album at that time, you know, and I was just the beginning of it when he let me know that. So, because it's pretty cool that that inspired, my mother inspired that song, and now I'm sitting here getting to play it. So that's pretty awesome to me.
Yeah, man, you know? Very cool. Yeah. Well, we got one more or two more. Sorry. You guys also wanted to share Really You, which
that's more of like our hard rock stuff, I guess. You know, Illusion's kind of funk. We got some pop. We got some hard rock, and I think that song, just in a nutshell, is just about addiction.
Yeah.
You know, and with what everything's going on now in our society with heroin and. You know, I think it's a fitting time, I guess you'd say, you know, to write something like that.
Yeah.
That song was the beginning of this album. You know, when I went to Bolivia and we were kind of like, we'll see what happens with Numbered, you know. Because it wasn't for sure that I was going to come back to the States. One day I remember I just sat down in the studio and down there in La Paz, you know, highest capital of the world, 2,000 feet above sea level. And I just plug in my guitar and my matchless, and I just started doing the riff, and I was like, that sounds pretty cool, you know. I was using a Paul Smith guitar, and it just sounded really cool. And then I just started developing the skeleton. I put some drums in there, bass, distortion guitars, and then I just sent it to Trev. I just got this.
Yeah, I think actually he was working with another band in Bolivia at the time.
Yes.
And he just basically sent me the track, like, you know, what do you think of this? And right away I'm like, okay, that's it. Did not give this demo away. I have to write to this, you know. And I'm glad I did, because I actually love that song.
Yeah, so and that's where we decided, what are we doing? We gotta get going. We gotta do this next album.
That was when I got the call from Bolivia. Hey, Mark, what are you doing?
Yeah, I'm coming.
Who are you
back.
Playing with? Oh, I'm messing here and there. He's like, well, you want to get a band together? Trevor, cool guy, you know, gave me some explanation. I'm like, yeah, sure. And that's when I talked to Trevor. Trevor's like, yeah, if you got any writing or anything. And boy, I saw that, you know, and you just don't hear that often.
Sure.
You know, I've seen many people, they want to write something and they guard it with their life. Like, you'll never sing this. It's not going to come from any mouth but mine. And, you know, it's just a different, not that I think anything's wrong with that. Everybody's got their own thing, but we're more open people and we're more, you know, hey, you got a better idea than mine. I like your idea more. We're all about the music, and we like have no ego whatsoever. No.
Well, I'm sure a lot of
between
that,
each other anyway.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of that also comes from just maturity, as you guys,
very much so,
getting older and you know, been through other bands and everything else. You know, it's like you've learned not to focus on some of the petty stuff in the past. And
yeah, sure. I told Trevor earlier he's probably going to have to get a ramp so I can get in the house here in a couple of years.
Yeah, that's.
Well, don't worry, we'll wheel you on stage.
Prop him up. Play.
Yeah. Man, I look at guys like, you got your, Rolling Stones still out there doing it and stuff. And, those guys, it's crazy, man.
Still be done.
Yeah.
When I first met Fernando, I was like, played him a song, and he's like, we should record this. And I'm like, well, I'm kind of old to be, and he had to really remind me, there's plenty of people out there that still do it. You start to think you're not 20 anymore. I should just succumb and be in a cover band again, and I just was not happy with just doing that. I have to write songs.
Yeah.
Otherwise it's all kind of pointless to me. Mm-hmm.
Well, I love a story like a guy. There's a guy, Charles Bradley, who's recently, last few years, getting a lot of success. He's more of a soul and R&B. Like, he kind of reminds me a lot of a James Brown type of, maybe not as much energy as James Brown, but and funk, but there's some similarities there. And the story kind of went he was discovered as kind of, I think he was maybe even living on the streets at the time, but he was in his late 60s and or something, and now he's getting his big break. And so it's just kind of crazy that you never know when you're when it's going to hit, when things are happening. It's never too late to start playing out and stuff. And it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, I think like you said, that comes with maturity, because I don't even really even think like that anymore. It's right. Just kind of like, what's make it? I don't even know what that is. All I know is that I'm doing what I like to do.
Yeah, we're musicians, and this is our lifestyle. This is what we live for, and we're gonna keep doing music until our last breath.
Yeah.
It is what it is, like that. And I have a student who's 65, and he just wrote his first song ever, and he's recording it at my place, and
very
he's
cool.
So excited that he's 65 years old. He's a very successful businessman. And he's already recording his first song ever, his first original song. Even though we recorded some cover songs with him in the past, he's so excited. He's like, I didn't even think that at 65 I was able to be able to do something like this.
Right.
So I tell everybody, students, friends, I tell everybody, it's never late. As long as you're breathing, what are you waiting for? It's like the industry tells you, well, you got to be in your 20s. No, you don't.
Right.
It's like you can be in your 40s and your 50s and your 60s, and you can still create music.
Yeah.
Dude, nothing stops you.
Last 10 years of my life has just been insane.
Right.
I mean, multiple bands for the last 10 years, just nonstop. Me and Trevor have been in several bands together over the last 10 years, and just cover bands.
Right.
And I just play locally around here. And
I used to tell him, 15 years ago, I was playing, we'd be in a cover band, and I'd play some crappy original song, and say, why can't we work on this, and everyone would look at me like I was crazy,
you don't get paid for that.
Except Rudy would always try to jump in and try to
come
help me build the song, and we actually
we did a few things, we just never recorded it anymore.
Yeah, we played a couple songs live one time.
Yeah.
But Fernando was the first person that I met that was really just like,
help you to produce.
You're crazy if you don't,
Yeah, and then you got the old schoolers. Like my dad used to tell me, he goes, I never seen so many guys work on so much music never make any money or play out.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was in a cover band. He played Top 40, and he played with Chuck Berry, and he played out with Ike and Tina. You know, he did the circuit with all them, and they looked at it like, you know, if you're in a band, you're in a working band, you know, and I get that.
Right.
But, you know, over time, he slowly realized that, you know, it's a completely different animal, the original music.
Yeah. If you do it for money, then you might as well just quit now. You know,
Yeah.
You don't do original music for money. So musicians out there, don't.
Well,
don't
unless you're like related to David Geffen or something, he's just gonna.
But
know.
even that, there's no guarantees.
Nobody buys music anymore. It's sure. Terrible.
You gotta do your shows. So that's how you make your money. Mm-hmm. It's your shows, but at the same time, it's like I feel bad for musicians because you know it's who want to make this as a living, you know, because it's not easy. Not easy at all.
No. I mean, there's so many bands out there that are, I consider, successful already, and they all still work day jobs.
Sure.
Absolutely.
It's just, it's such a hit and miss thing. I mean, unless you're selling out arenas, good luck, you know.
Yeah.
And the Midwest is a tough place for original music.
Yeah.
Not just the Midwest.
Yeah, true.
The world.
True.
Sure.
But you know, when I go on the coast, I see art galleries all over. You don't see that here. You know, it just seems true. Like there's an appreciation for art, you know, in all forms.
I do feel like maybe there's a shift of recent years. Obviously, the cover bands still do very well in St. Louis, but I feel like we have a really great original music scene, like a very diverse music scene with everything.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's people starting to take notice. I mean, I feel like, you know, you got your Nashville and Austin and like these big music towns, but I feel like St. Louis is like coming up on the way. You know, people are going to start talking about a lot of these bands very soon, and which makes me excited that I've had a lot of them on the show. So it's like, to kind of document some of this on the way up. Like, I feel
Well, and don't just count yourself as being a part of it.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. If I can be a small piece of any of this, like, that's pretty crazy. But, like, I just trying to help my friends. And, like, at least I'm glad to see that other people are starting to realize how talented they are. So,
and we're, you know, if we could help put St. Louis on the map, that would be, like, a lifelong accomplishment for me.
I'll second that.
Just because the talent here it's unbelievable. Sure. I mean, we have... So, you know, obviously there's talent everywhere, but we really do have some of the best talent in the world here. Yeah. Blues especially. I mean,
world-class players right here. And people kind of take it for granted. They don't realize that the type of talent we have in here in St. Louis. And
they're like, can you play Summer of 69?
Yeah, right, yeah.
Well, I think that's almost kind of the death nail.
I like that song.
Yeah. I think it's almost a death nail in a way, because when you can walk into any bar and see somebody like... Picaro or some of these local guys that just shred, you know. I mean, you're looking at 40 years of shredding right there. No joke.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So when you can walk into a bar that has 12 people sitting there and see that,
yeah,
you know, how easy is it to pick original band that you're going to focus on that much time when you got all of this great music around you? Mm-hmm. So it's almost a testament to some of the just local players, too, I think.
Definitely.
I actually never realized how much original music was here until I became a part of this project.
Sure.
Because I always knew all the cover bands.
Yeah.
Because that's what I was in. And then,
welcome to our world!
Well, I did the same thing. Like, I was telling you guys how I kind of started this show. And, like, you know, I had this idea. Like, I knew, you know, a handful of bands or whatever. I started, you know, knowing more people. But, like... Well, starting this show made me realize, like, man, I didn't know anything then, like, as far as music. I've met, like, over the last 3-4 years, I've met so many other incredible bands, and I'm like, how have I not heard this band, and they're in my hometown? Like, you know, that's what that's the craziest thing about it also. It's like...
The venues, I mean, it's... When a venue will bring in an original act, it's like, I feel like I need to personally go and buy them a dinner or something.
Yeah.
You know, because they're taking a leap of faith. They're taking a hit on the money. All they can do is, you know, you can hire a guy for $100, karaoke night. Call Marioki. There's a plug for you, Marioki.
Right.
You know, and she'll come in and she'll have a good time and they'll party and you'll sell drinks and everything. So I'd just love to thank, all the bar owners that really allowed people like me and Fernando and these guys, Trevor, yeah, and Rudy to come in over the years and play original music, because they, you know, they take the hit kind of like we do. Right. You know, we don't get paid. They don't get paid all that good. You know, and some of them will even actually pay you, which is, that's almost like charity to a certain extent. You know, because they're not going to get their money back. You know. Right.
You said earlier talking about that that's how the kind of started with the guitar riff and you sent over a line over the internet and stuff. Is that like is that how a lot of them start instrumental and then you write to them, Trevor, or do you guys
we write in a couple different ways. Yeah. Either, you know, I try to develop a start of an idea on an acoustic guitar and then we, you know.
And then we Frankenstein it.
Yeah, we Frankenstein it.
There are some songs.
Sometimes Fernando just writes a demo and then we write melody and lyrics to it.
Sure.
It's just, I think that's how we ended up with a lot of different styles on the album, because he would write a demo and I'd be like, oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, listen to this idea, and I would play something on acoustic. Oh yeah, let's build that. So we do it all different kinds of ways.
It's funny because Trevor is like, I just wrote a very simple song and you have to make it complicated. Fernando always has to complicate everything. You know, this is just a regular major chord, and you just have to go into doing all these little picking parts and little things. And
you have to remind him that I have to sing while you want me to play that.
Yeah, I have a tendency to make things a little bit complicated.
It is kind of crazy, you know, kind of going back to the just being in original music and stuff. Like, you know, you might spend this time, like, writing this crazy song and like all this stuff, and like, but people seem to respond to like some of the simplest songs that you wrote in like 5 minutes. They're like,
yeah,
they're
that's like, amazing.
Yeah, this was kind of a throwaway. This one, I'm over here shredding for you know and all this stuff, or listen to this drum solo I do here, or whatever it is, you know. And it's like,
absolutely. It and the thing about it is that even though I consider myself a complicated musician, you know, when Trevor would send me his demos, I would think about, okay, less is more, less is more, less is more. So can you imagine if we were not being less is more? We would be a progressive band by now, you know? Like Dream Theater.
Dream Theater.
It'd be three bass players.
No, come on. Not three bass players.
No, no one, you know, I got one for when I fall over and keel over. And
we got last track you guys want to share is Traces. Anything on this one?
Traces is, and to my own taste, is actually one of my favorite songs of the album. I just love the ambience about it, how open the song is, how it just, you know, the moment that riff starts and the drums come in, music just hypnotizes you. It's one of those songs you can just like listen to it forever, and it just takes in this zen state of mind where, like, you know, you start just forgetting about life and just focus on listening to it. I don't know, it's kind of weird for me, but I hope it does the same effect on everybody else. But it's definitely one of my favorite songs.
Of mistakes, some of my regrets.
But I love how there's acoustic guitar in there and how we have all these crazy ambient, you know, guitar riffs in it. And it definitely is one of my absolute favorites.
Yeah, me too. I love the flow of it. It's very tasty, but it's not real huge dramatic, but it's just got that nice flow with little tidbits that make it stand up. You know,
we're gonna do it a little different live too. Fernando's gonna do some guitar work that's not on the album, which I think is cool.
Yeah,
and it kind of eliminates some vocal parts toward the end, but I think it's really cool. It's gonna be great live.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah, drummer's gonna be throwing in stuff too.
The drummer's gonna be throwing in stuff. Yeah.
That ain't on the album,
right?
It's funny.
I'll just have to let everybody be the judge of whether that's a good thing or not.
Yeah. But it's really just a song that, you know, says everything that you do and the people that you meet and all your past experiences kind of shape your future.
Yeah, you leave traces all over you.
Yeah, man. Well, again, you can come see these guys on Friday, June 16th at the Firebird right here in St. Louis, Missouri. A big CD release party. Again, you've heard four songs. If you like it, come buy it. Tell some friends to come out, and we'll have physical copies of the CD and T-shirts.
Yes, that's some cool T-shirts.
Yeah.
So come out, support some local music right here. And we got $10 tickets, 7 p.m. doors.
7 p.m. doors.
And you got your...
show kicks off at 8.
With Floodplain Grifters.
You got it.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, some good friends of mine. You need to go check them out, too, and give them a podcast.
Yeah, definitely take a listen. Well, again, and follow these guys on Facebook, right? We got the page.
Yep. Numbermusic.com.
The music's all... on the website there too, so right?
Yep, yes. We have every song
and
on
video.
Our website. You can listen
and
to
the
it.
Video.
And the videos on our website, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So support these guys, check it all out. I appreciate you guys for taking some time
Thank
out there.
Right
Thank
out.
You so
coming
much
out.
For your time.
Yeah,
Thank you for
all
your
doing.
It was fun.
Yeah, we're gonna have to support you now.
Oh,
now that we know about you.
Yeah. Yeah, tell some friends to listen. That's all I
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right, thanks guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Rock paper podcast.
Rock paper podcast.
Rock paper podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.